Now, I can't promise you any seaside visit this afternoon, and it's still hot. And the subject I want to speak on may warm you up a little bit more. It is service. And I think it's an appropriate subject for young people. I have learned myself to appreciate my dear young brethren very much. And as John wrote to those young men, he said, "Ye are strong." Strength is in youth, not just what we learn about service, and the time for it is this, that it is now while we are in the wilderness. It wasn't in Egypt as such, type of the world, nor in Canaan, a type of heaven. But it is now that we learn this subject in the book of Numbers, the wilderness book. Perhaps you remember in the little book of Philippians that it begins not with the apostle, but Paul, a servant. A servant. It's the wilderness book. And he says in that first chapter, "For me to live is Christ." Now I believe that's our service in the wilderness, to live Christ. It's not just what we may do, but really what we are that comes out and brings a testimony in this world. In Numbers 3, we read a few verses. Verse 1, "These also are the generations of Aaron, then Moses, in the day that the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the son of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord, when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron their father. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons that they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, mine shall they be. I am the Lord." On down in the chapter, verse 40. And the Lord said unto Moses, Number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names, and thou shalt take the Levites for me. I am the Lord. Instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward of those that were numbered of them were 22,213. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. For those that are to be redeemed of the 22,213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pool after the shekel of the sanctuary, shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed. Notice that word, redeemed. Unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons according to the word of the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. Well, here in brief we have the children of Israel beginning their journey across the desert. They had been redeemed out of Egypt. I'll just mention that when they came out, they came up to that Red Sea, and there was the waters before them, and the mountains on the each side, and the enemy behind them, entrapped in the land as Pharaoh thought. And Moses says to the people on that occasion, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There is a time to wait. This applies in service very much too. But then the Lord speaks, and he says to Moses, Speak to the people that they go forward. I believe this is a principle always in action. There is a time to wait on God, to get a word from Him, and then there is a time to act. We find it in other places in Scripture, but here we are finding the children of Israel having passed that Red Sea, they landed in the wilderness. And here God chooses one tribe to replace those firstborn. Those firstborn would have died in Egypt from the destroying angel if the blood of that lamb had not been placed over the houses in which they were. They belong to God in a very special way. And so God replaces them with one tribe. I have wondered if it isn't something of the lesson that we've had in this last meeting that the flesh profiteth nothing. Consistently in the Scriptures we find that the firstborn does not receive the blessing like one who came later in the family. God is teaching us that lesson as we heard about Cain and Abel last night and the very first two boys that were born in this world. Abel really got the blessing, but he was replaced by a third son, Seth. Cain did not. He was the firstborn. And we can follow this through in Abraham and his family. Ishmael was older than Isaac. Esau was older than Jacob. And so it comes on down in many places in Scripture. And here I believe God is teaching the same lesson, that the strength of nature cannot prevail. God comes in grace, and he brings blessing. So he chooses this one tribe, and he sees that they are all redeemed. There were 273 in excess of the 22,000. They had silver money to pay for their redemption. Well, we want to say that we as believers are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The price has been paid. And here we begin this chapter with the priests. And they come from the line of Aaron, the high priest. They also were in the tribe of Levi. That tells us that not all in the tribe of Levi were priests, but of course they were all Levites. And yet we come to the New Testament, and in type we find that every Christian is a priest, a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood, and holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. And so this suits us to come into the presence of God in worship. Priests to worship, but Levites to serve. Now, all of us are Levites in that sense. And that's what we want to speak about this afternoon. That wonderful privilege that every one of us has while we're here, just while we're here, to serve. And oh, what a gracious master we have. One is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. It is not a hard service. We have a very compassionate master to serve. And so, dear young people, you I am speaking to now as those who have believed in the Lord Jesus. You are redeemed with that precious blood of Christ. And you are in that position to worship. To worship. But also, you are in the place of servants. Of a servant. It's not a hard place. We have that wonderful, compassionate master. And we might think, what can we do for him? Oh, what can we do for him? I trust your hearts have been touched already in these meetings. He has done so much for us, brought us into such a favored position. And you are young. Now, I'm not up here to set you to work. And that's the reason I read here in Numbers as much as anything else. But now we should go on to the next chapter here, in the fourth chapter, to read a little bit more, to find a type which will fit for every one of us to know where are we going to get our service, to be guided in this. So let's go on and read here in Numbers 4, the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath. Now it's the sons of Kohath. From among the sons of Levi, after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, notice that age, 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, all that enter into the house to do the work of the congregation, of the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof, and upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes and the spoons and the bowls and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put in the staves thereof. And they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuff dishes, and all the oil vessels thereof wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with covering of badger skins, and shall put to the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skins, and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon, and they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, and the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and the basins, and all the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and put it to the staves of it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that, the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch anything, any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. We'll read just a little farther. And to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaineth the oil for the light, the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is, in the sanctuary, and in the vessels thereof. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them, that they may live and not die, when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his son shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. Now there are very precious truths here. The first thing I want to call your attention to, because we're speaking on service, is the end of verse 19. Aaron and his son shall go in and appoint them. That is the Levites of the tribe of Kohath, or the family of Kohath, and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. Now, I believe this is very appropriate in connection with the last words which were said at the end of the last meeting. For here we have those holy vessels before us, and the ark in particular, which was the throne of God, typifying Christ, that only the priests could go in there. And when they got ready to journey, the priests went in there and very carefully covered that, because it wasn't for the sons of Kohath to do that. What their burden was to carry that, to carry that. As our brother was bringing before us, we are not to delve into the intricacies of the person of the Son of God. That is an unscrutable mystery. But you and I, as hearing all these precious truths, which we heard in particular in this last meeting, it's our burden to carry these things, to carry these truths as Kohathites, to have this burden upon our shoulders. To the Kohathites was not given wagons. They carried those holy vessels, the ark and the candlestick and the table of showbread. And they were to bear these things on their shoulders. And each one, now I say each one in that tribe of, or that family of Kohath, had to go to the priest to get his job. So now, if you and I want to know what you can do, who are you going to go to? Well, you have access right into the presence of God through our faithful and merciful high priest at all times. We can approach to him and get our service and our burden from him. And I do think that the best service we can render is to stand for these truths which we have heard, where only they are heard. You won't find ministry anywhere else in the world, I truly believe, like we have as gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus, where the Spirit of God is in the midst to protect that holy person and to open up all that is revealed for our enjoyment. I say we are to carry this. We go to Christ. He's the priest. He'll tell us just what to do. Well, this is just a very simple principle, and I believe in the protection of the children of Kohath that there is something to guard us about the pride of life. They might have thought, well, we have got the most precious burden to bear, but they were very carefully guarded about that pride, I believe, that they die not, but thus do unto them, that they may live and not die. So the priest went in there, and they covered those vessels with the veil over the ark, and then the badger skins, a durable covering, and over that blue. What they had was a heavenly thing before them. There were the staves. They were to pick it up and carry it. So that when it comes to Christ, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And that's all it says about that. And no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. You and I know the Father through the Lord Jesus, but we do not know the Son. Well, this, I believe, is guarded very carefully here. But the point I want to notice is again that in the verse 19, Aaron and his son shall go in and appoint them. That's the Levites of that family, every one to his service and to his burden. Now, this is one of the families there. And we have the Gershonites taken up next. And because of time, we won't read that except verse 27, which brings the same truth to us. At the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites in all their burdens and in all their service. And ye shall appoint unto them in charge all their burdens. Now you see, it was Aaron or his sons who had this appointment to give to the Levites. It's the same thing. You and I as Levites in our service, we go to the priest. We don't go to our brethren about this. It reminds me of that verse about the harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. I've said that all of us are Levites to serve. And the thing is that individually we must go to the priest to get his appointment for us. And the same thing, if you want to go on down, there's the sons of Merari in verse 29, but in verse 33, this is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service, in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Now, I don't know just why Ithamar comes in instead of Aaron, except perhaps God is indicating that Aaron wouldn't continue. But we have a high priest who does continue. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. And he is always available. So the same principle holds true for this family too. So all of us must go to the priest, to the Lord Jesus Christ, our faithful and merciful high priest, who as a man trod this scene and knows the course. Well, I'll tell you a strange story that happened to me. We had some strange ones on Lord's Day. And this seems to fit in type in a different way. Some years ago, down home at our own home, I received a call from a man I'd never heard of. And he seemed to want something. But he didn't seemed to want to speak it out over the telephone. Well, I called him back and he still didn't want to. So I persuaded him to come down and see me. Well, he came down and very slowly he brought out his story. He was a widower with five sons and he wanted me to find him a wife. I never had an experience like that. That was my strange story. And what I did, I think, is the only thing. I turned him to God. He professed to be a Christian. That's where we get our wife from, too. If you want to get the right one, get it from your Father in heaven. Now, if you want to get your right burden to bear, you go to the priest. You go to the Lord. And he'll give you the right burden to bear. In type, let's go to Luke 2 to receive the perfect picture, I believe, in this service in the Lord Jesus himself. Luke 2 and verse Luke 3 and verse 23. Here we read in Luke 23 and 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he was tempted of the devil. Here is that blessed man, none like him, just as much a man as I am, but oh, how different. We have man in three different ways, or flesh, as we might say. We heard just a little bit of innocent flesh in the gospel last night. There was that pair, and I believe on the ministry on Saturday too. But that didn't last very long, did it? Since then, we have had sinful flesh. But here we have holy flesh. Now, here was this man, the Lord Jesus. He was 30 years of age. He was ready to enter into his service. How did he do it? Well, he did it in the power of the Spirit. And he had back in a little earlier in chapter 3, but I'll just refer to it. Jesus had identified himself with that repentant remnant through baptism, and the Spirit of God came upon him. That's verse 22. And the voice from heaven came saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And then we read of his age, 30 years of age. Ready for his ministry, identified with that people, and the Spirit of God upon him. Well, what's he going to do? Well, he meets the enemy. That's what we've come to. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. The Lord Jesus began his service in the wilderness. And he began it by meeting the enemy, and he defeated him with the Word of God. Now, isn't this a principle for us? If you and I are going to serve the Lord in the wilderness, we're going to have to conquer the enemy with the Word of God. There's going to be a past in our life if we're ready for service. That has, in principle at least, conquered the enemy. And we may say, it goes on, that's battle with us. The Lord Jesus met the enemy and defeated him with the Word of God. And later on, at the end of his ministry, let's turn to John chapter 16, the end of his perfect, his public ministry. His last words, I refer to John 16:33 at the very end. "I have overcome the world." He went right through the world as the overcomer. Well, we are in that test too, to overcome the world. But if we're going to do something for the Lord, we've got to start out the right way. And we must wait upon Him. And as it were, make full proof of our ministry. And go to the Lord to get our individual service. And if there's going to be anything done for Him, it'll be in the power of the Spirit, not the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's just of no use at all. Now we'll go to Romans chapter 12 and read the first verse. Romans 12. We want to make this practical and perhaps a little more easy to understand. Here we have these words, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How very clear this is. It's while we're in the body here. And the body is to be presented not as a dead sacrifice. That reminds me of a counsel I got. And you can get good counsel from your older brethren. You certainly can. But you don't get your service. We're not here to set anybody to work. You go to the priest to get your work. He'll set you to work. I'm not trying to set you to work. No. But we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Well, the counsel I got was from Jimmy Smith at a time of trouble in going into one of the Latin countries. I don't remember whether it was Mexico or Salvador, where it was. He just said to me, Clem, God's not looking for heroes. That is a dead sacrifice. He wants a living one. I think that was counsel. I heard our brother Pierre Fata say when I was once with him in Peru, the first time perhaps, when things were a little bit uneasy there, he said, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We are here to serve and to wait. It's a wonderful thing, but it's a living sacrifice. You and I, dear brethren, who are guests here, have seen something of this in our brethren here of Addison Assembly. They are, as it were, laying down their lives for us. And it's a good example. And, oh, what love is shown in that way. But this just says it's a reasonable service. It's just what would be normal. And it's for all of us. Now let's go to John's Gospel and get a little bit more from that Gospel on this subject. What a precious service it is that you and I, as redeemed ones, are placed in while we're here in the wilderness. The 4th of John and the 34th verse. Here is the Lord Jesus again. And he says unto his disciples, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He was still in the work. This was meat for him. This was food for him to do the will of the Father who had sent him and to finish his work. Later on, he could say, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. And he did finish it. Well, go on, read here a little bit. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Yesterday we heard about sowing. That is a part of the work. And the harvest is a part of the work. They're brought together here. And I think it is so very precious to consider who those other men were that labored into the which the disciples were entering. For I believe that you and I are in the same work. Well, the Lord was talking, and he was talking about his work, and there had been John the Baptist that finished his work when he was 30 years of age. God uses young people, but he uses them in a special way, and he tells them what to do. And John had finished his work. Well, we can go back to the other servants that God had in the old dispensation, which pointed on toward the Christ. But the Lord Jesus came, and He entered into that work. I like to connect this with Hebrews 2, where it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began..." I'll have to read that. I'm getting a little bit mixed up. Hebrews 2. Let's turn that, get that right. Hebrews 2, 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord?" Now there was the Lord giving that great salvation out. "And was confirmed unto us..." Now, I believe this is Paul who wrote this. Peter tells us that Paul wrote this epistle. "Confirmed unto us the apostles by them," or Paul at least, "by them that heard him," by the apostles. So other men labored. Well, there was John the Baptist. There was the Lord. There were the 11. And then there was Paul. Barnabas. Now go to Timothy. Read about him in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 10. Here's Paul writing about that dear son of his in the faith. And what does he say about Timothy? 1 Corinthians 16, 10. "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." What was Timothy doing? The work of the Lord. What was Paul doing? The work of the Lord. What are you doing? You're Levite, a servant. You're doing the work of the Lord. I think, referring back to Romans 12:1, it was the not seeing the truth of that verse which introduced what we refer to as the clergy and the laity. Not discerning that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that it refers to all of us. Sometimes we're lazy and we like to lay on somebody else our burden. That is not for us to do. The Lord gives it to us. You have something to do that I can't do. Possibly I have something to do that you can't do. We are to go to our priest and get that burden from the Lord. And it's ours to bear. It's ours to carry. Timothy was a timid man, doubtless. It says here, "See that he may be with you without fear." There are brethren who need to be encouraged. And we're thankful for older brethren who discern this. And there are others who don't need to be encouraged. This is counsel that we get from older brethren, those who are the guides amongst us. Some possibly have entered into a full-time service, as we speak of it, when they weren't ready for it. Well, this is just a warning. But here was one who needed to be encouraged. I think there are many of these dear brethren amongst us. And I would say the sisters, too, have their own work. We have had doctrine about that in these meetings already. And there is something for all of us to do. So here was Timothy, one who needed to be encouraged in that work. Now, in the fifth chapter of John, going back to John again, the fifth chapter, and the 17th verse, it's hot and I may be putting you to work here when you shouldn't be, but we want to wind this down with a few more words. John 5:17, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. The Lord Jesus came to work. Well, the wonderful thing about this is we discern the Trinity in their work in the different dispensations as we referred to them this morning. That God Himself was made known to Israel as the God of Jacob. And, of course, there was the Holy Spirit and there was Jehovah the Lord too in that dispensation, as the Trinity is always manifest at all times. But in this time, when the Lord was here, He had come personally, the Son, and He was working, and He would let nothing hinder Him in His work. Those foolish Pharisees who sought to say that He was breaking the Sabbath didn't really know what they were doing. He had come to work, and He was going to finish that work. Nothing could stop Him. We're going to come on to that in just a little bit. But the 20th verse here too, For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. I should have read on down. Let's read verses 18 and 19. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Of course, He was God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. That is, He did not act independently, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Perfect unity in everything they did, always expressed the Son and the Father, typified in perhaps Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22, where twice it says, So they went both of them together. The Son, the express image of the Father of God, doing always those things that please the Father. Now, hadn't we always ought to do what pleases Christ? If we're going to know what pleases Him and what we are to do, we go to Him in prayer. And there is a time for prayer. And I want to stress that, and much of it before action. But there is a time to act. We've had it once in Israel, typified there at the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation of God, then speak to the people that they go forward. There was the Lord Jesus in the prayer in the garden, in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came, He found those disciples sleeping for sorrow. They should have been awake praying with Him. But He was praying with, He was praying and praying for them too. Then He says, Rise. Let us be going. He was going to do that work of the cross. Let's turn to the end of John's Gospel and read the last verse. This verse I used to think was very strange. Now I think it's very, very wonderful. The last verse of John's Gospel. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. It begins here with other things. Well, John had written this book, and in reading through it, we find many things that the Lord Jesus did in miracles, seven of them, I believe, in this book. Raising the dead. Now, I'm going to refer to, without turning to it, the last four words of Psalm 22. He hath done this. I'm speaking to an audience, I believe, who is acquainted largely with the 22nd Psalm. that work on the cross. There's never been a work done like that. That is above everything, along with resurrection, which is there too. Him coming out and singing, leading the singing in the congregation. Resurrection, victory. But it refers to the cross. And we have it in this gospel as in the other three. Oh, what a mighty work. We know who did what. They shall come and declare His righteousness unto a generation that shall be born, that He hath done this. We are the generation who have been born. And we have heard of the righteousness of that blessed Savior and what He has done, that work of the cross. But here the apostle ends up and says there are many other things which Jesus did. Oh, He's serving us now. We've had that before us. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He's serving us up there as our priest. Well, dear young people, you have your energy. You may not have much time, I say, the very young too, and the ones who are not so young. Now is the time of service. You will get your service and your burden from the priest, from the Lord Jesus. And He will guide you exactly in that. Oh, what a privilege it is just to do a little for the Lord while we await His return. I should turn to a couple more verses, at least one. In Mark 13, our time's not quite up. Mark 13 and verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. Well, watching is a part of the work too. But every man has his work. And here again, it comes from the Master. Gave authority to his servants. Well, there is that. But to every man his work. Every one of us has work to do for the Lord. Then, without turning to it, perhaps it's more or less a parallel occasion in Luke 19, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and he was going to return. And he gave talents there, and he said, occupy till I come. That's the part I wanted to stress. Till I come. When He comes, our service will be over. It is for the wilderness. Well, I trust we have learned where we get our appointment from. And we'll just seek to take that up. Can we sing in closing number 46 in the back of the book? I'd like it if some brother would start this. I'll read the last stanza again. Be thou the object bright and fair to fill and satisfy the heart, my hope to meet thee in the air and never more from thee depart, that I may undistracted be to follow, serve, and wait for thee. That's 46 in the back of the book.